The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in week one. Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. Game week, Bear. A little earlier than usual, but we're here. Wanted to make sure we got this out with the ample amount of games we have Thursday, Friday, and, of course, an absolutely loaded Saturday. You'll be on the road in Pittsburgh. I kept wanting to say Morgantown because I really want that game to be in Morgantown, but I know the folks from Morgantown and all around will be there. Are we taking the bus from Pittsburgh to Columbus?
I don't know what's going on in terms of that transportation. I mean, there might be a couple of different ways of getting between Pittsburgh and Columbus after our halftime and after the game on Thursday night.
Okay. I lot of people aren't about that bus life anymore on that crew.
Yeah, I probably will see if there's a seat on a quicker way of getting to Columbus.
If it was Morgantown, I think the bus would be the only way. That would probably be the quickest way for sure. But it being in Pittsburgh,
you want to find out. People love the travel story. So here's a good one. There is an FBO in Morgantown because we've flown in there.
Okay.
For games. So we flew from somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And we flew to Morgantown for the Oklahoma-West Virginia game that night. And it was snowy, miserable, and it was a small – it wasn't our usual plane that we fly from game day to the game site. So there wasn't a lot of room in the cabin to keep backpacks and stuff. So, like, I always – when I'm done with the show, I put my sunglasses in the little mesh side pocket that has the elastic that grabs it and holds it in place. So they put my backpack in the back. And when we get off the plane, they give me my backpack back and like my glasses are gone. I have no idea. Prescription sunglasses that are like relatively new. So obviously we were coming from somewhere that was warm and sunny. Cause I used them, I'm assuming during the show or during the morning. And I wasn't happy. I was kind of livid about it. And then, so like no glasses and send a note. Oh no, we didn't find them. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, don't know where they are. And then like 6 weeks later, the charter company winds up sending a package to one of our production people. Hey, we found these glasses on in the luggage hold all the way in the back, hidden behind some things on the flight. And so yeah, there were my glasses. So
were they in one piece?
They were in one piece.
Oh, okay.
And they were fine. So it ultimately worked out well in the end. But there's a little travel adventure for you to kick the season off here.
Perfect. Very good. Just to let you know, just booked some flights to College Station for week three. I will be in the building, Van Pelt Sports Center, to follow that game, which I'm super fired up. So we could talk about that at the end.
I think there's a good chance College Game Day will be there too.
Yeah, I would think so. As long as teams take care of business, that's a lot of what I see on the docket here for week one.
Sorry for the yelling. I'm heavily invested in Quinwen Zhang against in the U.S. Open and in this particular match, and she just beat Helena Ostapenko 6-4 in the third as Ostapenko sent one into the net. So now you know the exact time that we're recording this.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a good result for you, boy.
Very good. I had Serena -4.5 last night. Cover. Thank you.
Win. And yes. she's only a small dog on Wednesday night. See, it's an absolute stay away from for me because Kontaveit is someone who she was the best like indoor hardcore player in the world at the end of last year, and she racked up a bunch of rankings points on that, and that's why she's number two. But she had COVID, long COVID, hasn't really been fit and hasn't been playing well lately. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Serena beat her. And it also wouldn't surprise me to see Kontaveit blow her off the court. So I am absolutely staying away.
Very good. You mentioned fit. Are you more fit at the beginning of the season or the end of the season?
Before. Before, you know, and that's a bad thing these days because I'm far from my best right now, and unfortunately, I fear it's only going to get worse. So I'm going to have to really, really try hard.
We're going to have to lock in a little bit and get it done during the week.
I am. All right. I totally agree.
All right. We're on the same page there. All right. Let's start rank versus rank matchups. We're going to go all over the board. I know we have Thursday games. I know we have Friday games, but let's just start the games that they're going to be the most watched. I see three of them. It's Oregon, Georgia. It's Notre Dame, Ohio State. You'll be there. And it's Cincinnati and Arkansas. All of them are a stay away for me, but I do have thoughts on the games. I just think, and it's the same thing for Pitt, West Virginia, unfortunately for me. We'll get to that. But the unknown, Bear, I just don't want to throw money around on games that have so much unknown to me. And yes, there's a reason Oregon and Ohio State, or I should say Georgia and Ohio State, are that big of favorites, okay? All they bring back, the star power, the coaching stability, all that good stuff. And the talent, the way they've recruited, obviously they're going to get a benefit of the doubt when it comes to the spread. If you like the other sides, good for you. I'm just not going to pull the trigger of because of what's up against it for Oregon and Notre Dame. I do think it's interesting. Everybody's like, oh, Dan Lanning knows every player on that Georgia roster. Dan Lanning didn't bring one person from the Georgia staff with him to Oregon. So I find that kind of weird. I think he's more worried about getting his own team right. And we talked a little bit last week about the struggles that were the spring game, whether it was turnovers at the quarterback position, not being sound on both lines of scrimmage, but I didn't see it. So, again, it's an unknown for me. Obviously, everybody's talked about Bo Nix. He's seen Georgia's defense before. Hasn't been great. Going back, I did find it interesting. Bo Nix only did throw three picks last year. And I think a lot of it got caught in the circumstances of when he threw those. But when you look at Oregon and Notre Dame, the idea of these guys stepping in against these hostile environments and these talented teams is nothing I want a part of. If I have to take a side in my office pools, I'm probably just going to take both underdogs because of the big numbers.
Yeah, I also often wonder if, like, they trusted Bo Nix to throw the ball at times. They were very, very cautious with what to do. But we've seen that deal against the Georgia defense, and it hasn't been good. And reports are that the quarterback play has been a little sketchy at best from Eugene and camp. So I don't know how much better it gets. Of those two games, Georgia, Oregon, Notre Dame, Ohio State, I'd probably be more apt to lay it with Ohio State than I would with Georgia, because I trust the Oregon defense. I mean, Flo and Sewell are all American type players. I mean, they are legit. And you have to wonder, in a lower scoring game, which I think it will probably be, they might be able to hang around. You've got a Georgia offense that's going to be kind of breaking in some new guys as well. I mean, clearly the tight end grouping is fantastic. I just don't know how many points Oregon's going to be able to score. Interesting note that I pulled up. Mm-hmm. If you go back over the last five Power Five non-conference opponents Georgia has played, it's been number two Michigan in the playoff last year, Georgia Tech twice, number three Clemson, number eight Baylor. They've held those five teams to a total of 35 points and covered every single one of the games. Mm. And even if you take out the two games against Georgia Tech, because that's what people are going to say, oh, well, Georgia Tech, they outscored those other three top 10 opponents by a score of 70-28. So, like, that kind of leans low. I mean, you look at the rank, the top 10 games, 34-11. 45, that'd be an under. 10-3, under. 26-14, under. So I think it's an under game. I think the Oregon team total under is the way to go. So okay. That's what I'm looking at there.
Okay. The other ranked game, Cincinnati-Arkansas. I see Arkansas -6 again.
I want no part of this game, man.
Zero.
None. I can't wait to watch it because I honestly have no idea what's going to happen. like Arkansas, a team with Jefferson at quarterback, I think they have a chance to be really good. You hear things about the loss of Burks being a massive impact, which it'd be shocking if it wouldn't be. I love the Arkansas staff. I love what they're building there. But this is a Cincinnati team that's not going to just suddenly go away and be garbage. How good are they going to be on defense losing all those guys? I don't know. How good are they? Are they going to be on offense now? I don't know. But that's the question. Like, you could lay the 5.5 or 6, whatever it is, and Arkansas could blow them out, and you'd be like, son of a gun, I knew Cincinnati wouldn't struggle. Or you could go the other way. You can lay it and be like, wow, Cincinnati's a hell of a lot better than I thought it would be. So I can't wait to watch this game, but I want no part of betting on it.
The more I read, I was, you know, when I first started reading on my SEC and diving in, I really thought Arkansas was going to struggle. Their number was 7.5 for win total. And now the more I'm reading, I think I like them more. The schedule's brutal. Absolutely brutal when you look at the middle of it. It's really tough. But I think KJ Jefferson, you mentioned the coaching staff. I feel like, you know, Barry did a great job of getting those two guys. And most importantly, keeping them. I mean, with all the jobs that were open, you keep those two guys. I just feel like Coach Pitt has his guys ready. He's going to let his coordinators, you know, call all the shots. And KJ was really dependable last year. You know, the defense fell apart against the upper echelon teams. And when you mention the defense, you get Catalan back, who I think the world of on the back end. And I think Jaden Hazelwood, from the transfer from Oklahoma, he was the number one receiver, I believe, in the class of 19. He comes over from Oklahoma. I think he's going to have a monster year. And the more I dive into this, I think Arkansas is going to start the year 2-0. I would lean Arkansas, just because I think the roster's deeper, and Cincinnati obviously being hush-hush about the QB situation. But it is a fascinating matchup because I don't know what we're going to get from either side. It's not a pick for either side. I would just lean Arkansas being at home and that great home crowd. I think that ends up being the difference. I also would look at the under in that game.
Hey, one other note back on that game in Columbus. I would, if, like I said, if I had to play the game, I would lay the points with Ohio State, just basing it on the offense that we know we're going to see from the Buckeyes. We saw it in the Rose Bowl. We've seen how dynamic they're going to be with Avery Davis out for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Is that going to allow Mayer to be the player that he's been in recent years? I don't know. Probably see a lot of quarterback run. Watch out for 44 on the Ohio State defense. Tua Omolo, I believe, is how it's pronounced, a highly touted recruit, and word is that he's like past the point of where Chase Young was at this point in his career.
Come on.
Yeah, that's the report from Columbus at this point. We'll see. But then,
is that 11 Warriors? You got your login for the 22 season? Is that coming from the 11 Warriors?
Well, I need to get in touch with Travis now that he's left us. I need a Buckduck's password. I need a Buckeye Grove and an 11 Warriors password, both of them. I need two of them. But Notre Dame away from home against top in big games against elite teams. Away from home, last 10 versus top 10 teams, 0-10, lost by 16.4 points per game. Last 11 versus top 5 away from home, 0-11, lost by 19.6 points per game. Since 94, they're 1-17 versus top 5. And if you go back prior to that, from like 88 to 92, I think they were like 7-2 in those games. So it's a complete role reversal. And we'll see if they ultimately can win one of these games away from home against a top 10 team.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's rewind and let's go with Thursday. You'll be there. Backyard Brawl is back, fired up. All the emotion you want in an opener, an out-of-conference game, a lot of hate. It feels like the hatred is passed away, but I think once those people walk in and see each other's colors, there'll be a lot of yellow. It'll mix right in with those seats at the former formerly known Heinz Field.
I think there are going to be a lot of West Virginia fans there from what I hear. I hear there are these sites out there that monitor ticket sales based on zip codes and area codes, where tickets are sold. And supposedly there are a lot of metrics that show that West Virginia fans bought a ton of tickets for this game.
Okay. Again, just new coordinators on both sides, new quarterbacks. You got a team that's starving for a jump start in West Virginia. And you got a team that I think is going to be pretty darn good, but I don't want to lay 7.5 in a game with a lot of emotion like this with Pitt. You feel like Neil Brown does need that staple win. This would be an unbelievable start to getting that. They also have an out of conference game at Virginia Tech in a couple of weeks, but I think Pitt is going to be as solid as there is, especially in the ACC. I know Desmond picked them to make the playoff. I don't know if I'm as high on as that, but it's a sit back and watch for me. That's all I got there. I'm fired up to see it. Both the uniforms are great, and I'm happy for these two teams to get back together on the field.
I think if I were playing this game, I would lay the points with Pitt because I know what I'm getting from Pitt. While I got some new parts, I know they're gonna stop the run. I know they're going to get after the quarterback. They'll be okay, I think, offensively. I just don't know what I'm getting from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Like we're one of the teams in the country where, I think the ceiling and the roof are there's a drastic difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a massive year for Neil Brown. Slovis is going to start. I'd be shocked if he didn't. But defensively, I worry about them. And I worry about their ability to run the ball on Pitt. And it's going to be, I think, a lot to ask Slovis in his first game against that defense to kind of carry them. So I would go with the known commodity here. If I were playing this game, I would lay the points with Pitt because look at it this way too. With Tennessee coming in next week for Pitt, mm-hmm. This is like an absolute have to have this game because you don't want to lose this game to open the year. And then, oh, by the way, here comes a top 20 team who you beat last year and put up a bunch of points and a bunch of yards is going to be out for payback and revenge in a big way. And you could be looking at an 0-2 start. So I think the way the situation is here, I think Pitt would be the way I would look.
Any picks on Thursday night for you that you can see going in the column?
Yes, Purdue. Yeah, I like Purdue. And I'm basing it on a couple of things. Number one, the conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago with John Murray at Westgate about the seemingly public infatuation with Penn State and the seemingly one-sided ticket count there. I always enjoy being on the – when the public kind of sides with a short road favorite like that, I always like being a little bit contrarian there and taking the home dog, especially when you're looking at Brohm and how he's been as a home dog, 19-8. At Purdue, 12 outright wins. Mm-hmm. Remember last year, Michigan State came in off the big win at Michigan, undefeated as short favorite and got blown out. So, I think the situation, I think this game, too, is big. It's big for Penn State, obviously, too. Yeah. They got a lot of unknowns around Clifford at offense. But at the same time, I think this is a game for Purdue where Brohm kind of – and we've brought it up, too. There's no Bell. There's no Karlaftis. The best player on both sides of the ball are gone. Lambert's gone. But you still got the quarterback. And I think this is kind of a – don't forget, I can still coach and build a program type of game, I think, for Brohm. So I think this is a little personal. I think Brohm is out to prove that his team is pretty good here. And I'm going to take Purdue plus the points.
All right. I got a little inside tip for on kickoff of this game. Okay. Because the network it's on always lies about what time it's kicking off. And they're saying they said 7 Eastern. I'm going to give 8:05. So that game's going past midnight. I'll just tell you that right now. I do have a pick, Bear, but the problem is the line's not out yet for a Thursday night game. And that is my Fresno State Bulldogs. They are playing Cal Poly, and I don't care what the spread is, we're laying it. I'm expecting it to be 31, 32.
Kidheads.
I could see this thing going up to 40 by kickoff. So get in early. I'm going to try and get in as soon as I can, as soon as it pops up. Sometimes those don't come till day of game. So just keep your eyes out. Keep refreshing your apps. Wherever you get your lines, I'm taking Fresno. That's an official pick. Friday.
By the way, I was going to say, before we get, I can't wait for next year come NFL draft time. You'd be nuts to pass on Jay Kaner. The coaching that he's got, but Kalen DeBoer, Jeff Tedford, coaching quarterbacks, this guy, I don't know what round he's going to go. I don't know how high, how low, who's going to be like Bryce and CJ, I'm sure will be the hype guys. Give me JK, man. The offense that he's run with the offensive minds and the coaching that he's got in the last couple of years, I want that guy.
Yeah. I like him for the Mountain West too. I know we didn't get to the Power Fives. I love everything about him. They've showed me a ton last year. So I'm in on the Bulldogs. Friday, I have an official pick. You're going to hate it. It's going to be opposite a pick on winners Thursday night with Mr. Van Pelt, but they have a game under their belt under a new offensive coordinator. I know Wyoming wasn't the best team, but I'm taking the points with Illinois.
I going to hate it?
Because it's not the right side. You know those people, right side, wrong
it's
side.
Not the right side?
I think Illinois is going to have all the money. Just going based off of I thought they looked good last week. Is Wyoming they good? Did. No, but I love the speed they have at their skill guys, man. Chase Brown is a difference maker. I love what I saw from DeVito. They really tried some tough throws early in that game to extend drives and just, off the fingertips. I love the system. They were just run some funky stuff with Lunning calling the plays. So I like Illinois. I think the defense is better. I love the guys they got up front there, and I expect them to go in and win the game on the money line. But we will take the plus +3 with Illinois in Bloomington Friday night.
No, I already gave that out on the triple option on Daily Wager yesterday.
Oh,
I had to go yesterday.
Wow.
So I agree. I mean, Indiana, I think they averaged 11 points a game last year in Big Ten play. Mm-hmm. Their offense without Kalen DeBoer now, clear. I mean, yes, they had injuries at the quarterback position, but I think they've got some problems. And ever since that, they had that great season in the 2020 abbreviated year, covered every game, won some games that they probably shouldn't have. They failed to cover 11 of our last 12 games, and the only win against an FBS team was a 2-point win over a kind of average, at best, Western Kentucky team. So I don't know. Indiana's got a lot to prove with a new quarterback, new running back, new receivers, and I think a lot of questions. So,
all right, good. Friday, other games on Friday, I just want to touch on if you have any official picks. Old Dominion, they get your interest at all? Getting 8.5 home?
You got the Ricky Ronnie, Brent Pry.
Yeah.
And Penn State coaching ties.
What's that over under?
49.5.
Oh, I'm fascinated to see what Virginia Tech looks like. I don't expect a lot of things from this year, but hey, they could use that motivation and get it against everybody else. So I'll be watching that. And do you still, since you started the steam on TCU 3 months ago, do you still like them? What is this line done? Is it doubled, tripled?
I think it's I'm waiting for it as long as I can. And I'm going to figure out at this number, I'm going to middle it.
Okay.
I laid seven and a half. I laid it. And I'm absolutely at 13 and a half now, whatever it is. I am absolutely middling it.
Okay.
Because it's, I mean, yeah, we saw some big line moves in week one with Vandy and with, Illinois. We saw those big moves be right money and right side and easy winners, but we'll see here. I'm gonna play around here, and I bet this game at 7.5 solely knowing, expecting the number to hit 10.5 or 11, but at 13.5 now, whatever it is, I gotta buy some back.
Okay, very good. All right, Saturday, your picks. I'll let you go first. Go ahead.
Washington laying the 21.5 against Kent State. Like they say a prayer, pour one out for Kent State. Washington, Oklahoma, Georgia. That's your non-conference schedule. Mm. We need Windhorse to raise his alumni donation there to have them avoid playing this type of non-conference game every year. But I hit on Kalen DeBoer earlier. Everyone hits on Clay Helton and some of the other fell apart for Coach O at LSU. Some of like the recent like coaching like bad hires, debacles. The Jimmy Lake experience at Washington did not go over well. Mm-mm. And I think there are still players there at Washington. Defensively, I think on the front seven, they're still going to be good. They can't help but be better offensively now with DeBoer calling the shots and Michael Penix at quarterback. I don't know how up front Kent State is going to be able to slow them down. They're kind of in a little bit of a transition year. It's themselves in the MAC. I'm going to lay the 21.5 with the Huskies. I think this is a chance for UW to get right. I'm going to be a little contrarian here as well. You're probably going to hate this pick. I maybe you won. I shouldn't say that.
Okay.
This is going to be on the board, I think, on winners, rather. Definitely okay. Winner. I'm going to take North Carolina at a pick 'em now that it's down to a pick.
Okay.
People, I think, are overreacting to what we saw week one, a game that the Tar Heels probably didn't even know they were playing for sure on Friday. So, of course, they were going to come out a little sloppy, and they did against an overmatched team. Now, look, they got some things to address on defense. They need to clean some things up, and they need to be able to stand up and run the ball a little bit better and stop the run a little bit better. But I thought May looked okay at quarterback. I think the fact that this numbers moved down now, I know App State beat him a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. but I think this is a good buy low spot on North Carolina. So I'm going to take the heels at a pick 'em here.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from. I can't touch that game. And the reason I can't touch it is I'm not a Chase Brice fan. If the quarterback situation was different with App, again, I'm not keened up on the App roster.
I'm sorry to cut you off. But
no, like, go ahead.
Everyone thinks of that drive that he had against, was it NC State? Mm-hmm. Come back when he had to go in because Trevor got hurt or whoever was it got hurt. And he had to go in and save the year. Or was it? Wait, was that even Deshaun?
Hit? I forget. No, that was Trevor. That was Trevor.
And he had to go in and save the season. He had the 4th and 8 or whatever it was, and like people have that image of him. But he's had ample opportunity to do other things, and it just hasn't panned out.
So, okay.
And then I got one more for you.
Oh.
I got one more, and yeah, I need to. I know Danny Sheridan basically said I need to have my head examined. For my thoughts in week one, but I'm gonna lay the 23 with UCLA against Bowling Green. This is another massive line move. I think this opened at like 34. It's down to 23. Like Bowling Green, I think people think could be a sneaky okay team in the MAC this year, but there's a difference between being like sneaky okay in the MAC and maybe contending for a spot in the MAC championship game versus going to UCLA in the season opener and dealing with DTR and Charbonnet in that running game. Like, you know Chip. I know Chip. It wouldn't be past Chip to just be sitting there kind of all off season taking notes about USC and Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams and Addison and Dye, and wow, this offense coming to LA, it's going to be offense. Now, you don't think Chip would come out in the opener and put up like 60 and kind of be like, oh, remember us, the team that scored 62 on SC last year and had like 600. We're kind of okay too. You don't think the Chip that you and I both know and love would kind of take that a little personally, would you?
I just would say I think he enjoys all the limelight and attention the team across town is getting, and I will leave it there, which gets to me and one of my picks for Saturday, and I have four words to back it up. I just have to take Rice plus 32 and a half. I got to do it. I have to do it because I'm more than likely going to have SC against Stanford the following week. And I just have to take Rice knowing I didn't dive in on the Rice roster. I just know Coach Blumgren's been there. I think he knows what frustrates USC teams. And I'm not saying they're going to win the game. I think they're going to frustrate SC to a point where they could score some points and hang around enough. I think the defense will be playing way off and just trying not to give up the big play. I think Lincoln Riley should combat that and get some big plays. I think SC fans are going to be really happy with what they saw. But a la North Carolina the other night, I went back, watched the tape. I just thought the Florida A&M quarterback was a better quarterback on the field the way he threw the ball. I mean, guys for the Rattlers were wide open, and I think Carolina's got a lot of buttoning up to do in the secondary. I think SC is going to come out sky high. I think Rice is just going to come in and try and do what they do and run the football and win time of possession by hopefully 20 minutes and keep the ball away from number 13. So I'm taking Rice plus the 32 and a half. I did like it when it was at 35, but maybe some people are on this before me, but I'm taking them. Saturday also, I think it's the wrong side, but I don't care. I'm taking it based off of last year. Based off, I think the advantage is with Louisville and the coaching staffs. I do like Satterfield as a coach. I think Syracuse is one-dimensional. I think Louisville's defense is going to be a hell of a lot better than it was last year, and I love the capability of their offense and Satterfield's onus on both sides of the ball. I hate giving points on the road, but I'm going to take Louisville. I was at 5. Now it's down to 4.5. I'll lay the 4.5 with the Cardinals on the road. And another, I just have to, I know they didn't look great last week, but can the Miners from UTEP help me out a little bit this week? They scored 13 against North Texas. Can they score 10 against Oklahoma?
Yes, they absolutely can.
Okay. Because I think
back to your Syracuse Louisville game, that is an absolutely fascinating game to me because I think you've got two coaching staffs that think they can have a winning year and like both know that they need this game in order to get there. So I'm really, really intrigued by this game, and I'm glad you brought up UTEP, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. If you kind of look back the last couple of years. Last season opener, they were 31-point favorite over Tulane and won by 5. The time before that they were 30-plus-point favorite versus an FBS non-conference opponent, Army in 2018, they won 28-21. What was that, overtime, right?
Yes.
Close to
on the pay-per-view channel.
So, yes. So, last two times they've been a 30-plus-point favorite over a non-conference team from the FBS, they won by 5 and 7 points. Now, okay. Maybe there'll be a little bit of a different urgency with Venables and Levy, and maybe the team is more on the same page here now. But there's certainly reasons, recent precedent, a lot of roster turnover. So, I mean, some of these players are not there. But we've seen Oklahoma come up short quite often as a big favorite.
Yeah, so that's why I'm going to take the over. I just need UTEP to help me out. I think that pedal is going to be on the gas, or foot's on the gas. for Norman. I think they're going to come on, you know, that place is going to be nuts. Venables, I hope he doesn't tear both hamstrings run out on the field, because that guy is going to have so much juice running out. And I do think they're going to play with a ton of fire, and that offense is going to be ready to go. And I like the over, I think I saw 57. I think Oklahoma scores 50. I'll just say that. And that could probably be the worst prediction ever. But there was, could be worse things from last week. People telling me that Hawaii was going to cover against Vandy, and that didn't happen. So let me just go down before we get to some other games. You know what game I didn't realize is this week? And I guess it's on ESPN Plus. Very interesting game. Army at Coastal. Do you believe in the Shants with a whole offseason to prepare for the Army offense?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I think there's a, if I remember correctly, there were some rule changes put in place in the offseason to kind of mitigate and reduce shot blocks and such.
Downfield,
that could have a, that could have a massive effect on these military academies in the way they run the option, the way they block their schemes. So like that might be an actionable, like, I don't know if that's something that's going to be baked into the line or not when we see these numbers posted, or if bookmakers or odds makers are remember this, or they think it's a factor. But if it's not, that just might be something to follow along earlier in there. These teams that use a lot of shot blocks, go downfield a lot, their offense could see some penalties, and they might be, if not immediate plays against to start the year, certainly worth monitoring to start the year.
Very good. To me, I think it's more of those big plays, say the fullback or and all that, not, just not being the big plays. I think they'll still, you know, get their chunks of yardage. But when 7 o'clock Eastern, ESPN Plus, at Old Brooks Stadium in Conway, South Carolina, I will have that on a side TV for sure. That's very interesting. You mentioned the game last week. That was your most interesting. Utah, Florida. Any thought, change of thought on that one? It's a stay away from me.
It's an absolute stay away from me. At the same time, it's also the, for obvious reasons, the ranked team that I think has the biggest chance to lose to an unranked team. But for that reason, it is a stay away. Again, fascinated by the game. Utah, I think, is better. At the same time, how are they going to handle the heat and humidity in Florida at that time of day? Like, I don't know. At the same time, I think that Florida is a little concerned about their depth from what I hear. So that doesn't necessarily bode well for Utah and the punishing style of football that they play. Again, like Arkansas, Cincinnati, can't wait to watch the game. Is it wrong? I shouldn't say this, but I already did. Is it wrong to say that I'm like kind of rooting for Utah? And it has nothing to do with has nothing wrong with me going to Miami. Nothing to do with that. I want to see. It's good for the sport to have like a legitimate contender from the Pac-12 make a playoff run or win the Pac-12 again. I love Kyle Whittingham. I love watching Utah play. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked about it a million times. We're so sick and tired of seeing this conference just absolutely dribble down their leg when they're in the limelight and have an opportunity. They got a massive opportunity here. They got an opportunity with Oregon. Like, I think the sport benefits, and that's why I say I'm kind of rooting for Utah. The sport as a whole benefits if Utah wins Saturday in the Swamp. If not, if they lose, then it's like that conference is going to have a playoff contender team that beat the team that's probably going to finish third or maybe fourth in the SEC East, undergoing a new coaching change, and roster is in flux. Like that conference, the team that lost to them, So we'll see.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up,
crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato, coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret cane sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
All right, you came up with a list. I want to do it every week. I think it's really interesting and gets a chance to talk about some games or actually give thoughts on games, even though they might not be official picks. But is that your – let's go underdog to win outright. Is that yours, Florida?
Illinois.
You like
Illinois.
The best?
Well, the underdog I like the best is Illinois. Utah would be the underdog in terms of the favorite that I think could lose, the ranked team that could lose to an unranked team. Utah, I think, is the most likely. Game that I want no part of, we talked about Cincinnati, Arkansas. And the favorite I'm most confident in is indeed Washington.
Okay. I'm going to go underdog and win outright. I'm going to give you another one because I'm not as high on them as everybody else is. And that's the Roadrunners. UTSA over Houston. They're at home, 3:30 game.
I've heard a lot of Houston in this game.
Yep. There's a lot. Houston's laying 4. I would not be shocked if the Roadrunners win that game. Game I want no part of. There's a million of them. but I think it's got to be either one of the big games, the Oregon-Georgia game or Notre Dame-Ohio State. I just have zero interest in that. I'll be watching them, obviously. I don't want any action. It's exactly what I thought of with Northwestern and Nebraska. I wanted no part of that game. And I was really mad when I just did check the halftime line and saw, I think Northwestern was plus 200 to win that game at halftime, and they were up 3. So didn't get that one in. Favorite I like most, whatever it is, Fresno State. I just think a lot of this team and Ted Heads are back, and I love the talent on that team. And ranked team to most likely lose to an unranked team, I think that would be – I would take the Roadrunners for that one.
All right.
Although, could I say East Carolina?
You could say whatever you want. It's
that's
your
another
podcast.
One. I'm not pulling the trigger there. Any thoughts on Sunday or Monday night?
That's one of the games that you could look really bad, because while we're like apologists for ECU when we started the Halton Ahlers train 3 years ago, and then everybody else
6 years ago, on, I think it was.
It might have been 6. Yeah, exactly. Like, they could get blown out.
Yes.
They legitimately might not be able to stop NC State on offense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that would worry me.
Yeah.
Sunday and Monday, I want to play Clemson.
What's the line?
21.5.
Okay.
Like, Georgia Tech is so, like, I think they're going to be terrible. But until you see their offense, like, you're basically saying, we think Clemson's defense is good for a touchdown, and they're probably going to hold Georgia Tech to 10 or less. And they held Georgia Tech to 10 or less last year, and they only won by 5 points. Mm. It wasn't 14-9. So, like, I want to lay it with Clemson, but I think I kind of need to see it before I entrust myself and to do it.
Yeah, I'm not.
Doesn't it feel like LSU is like everyone's on LSU in this game?
Yes.
It probably would be the side that I would play, but because you look back, Brian Kelly, less 40 times he's won 40 straight games
as a favorite
when his team's been favored.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It's in New Orleans. Like it feels like that could be another one that might be on your boys' board on Thursday night.
Yeah, and they got a game under their belts. I know they lost. They had a couple injuries. I think one on the O-line, one on the D-line before the game against Duquesne. But, yeah, it's a stay away for me. Here's what I'll say. When you say you want to lay with Clemson, why do I have to keep watching Georgia Tech in primetime? They don't deserve any of that real estate. Whether it's these games or Thursday nights during the year, I always get stuck watching Georgia Tech. I mean, anybody else. I'd rather watch Duke than Georgia Tech.
You know what that is? That's probably network programming people going down the entire hey, you want to play Clemson on Monday night? You want to play Clemson? And they got down to like the ninth pick.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, Georgia Tech, you want to
again?
You want to play Clemson on Monday night again?
Yeah.
We know you had that ACC network game a few years.
Right.
Let's roll that back. Jeff Collins is doing it for his program, and he wants to get publicity. But I don't know if this is going to be the best publicity that they could possibly get.
Would you rather lay it or take it? Utah State, Bama, 41.5.
Initially, I was thinking take, but at the same time, because in recent years, it's kind of been a little bit of a shift with Saban. Like there was a run where he would never run it up.
Yeah.
On some of these non-conference big games, it's like a 35-40 point favorite, but. Like from 2011 to 2019, there were 5-15-1 against the number as a favorite of at least 35 points in non-conference teams. Last four instances, covered all of them, outscored the opponents 237-27. So it's been a little bit of a change. The only thing what you're going to get is probably Alabama backups playing the last quarter and a half, and they're still going to run their stuff. Like they're going to be like,
yeah,
they're going to be in the, so I'm not high on Utah State this year. I think the fact that UConn jumped out to a quick lead on them last week.
Hey now, Huskies.
Is a bad sign. So I would, if I had to play it, I would lay it.
I think it's just a matter of how fast Nick gets to 42. That's all. Like if they're 42-0, 4 minutes left in the second quarter, the foot's off the gate. He's not risking anything
right
going on the road to Texas. I think it's just a matter of how fast he gets there. And looking at the depth chart, Latu's out at tight end. Uts is going to be starting there. And the receivers, that depth chart came out. I'm interested to see those guys. And what I really want to see is the Alabama secondary. I saw Kool-Aid.
It'd be so good.
I saw Kool-Aid's going to be the punt returner. I'm fired up for that. But I don't know. It's this fascination I have. And when I knew, people on the staff, it would be like last week, I would always reach out like, who are the new guys? And now I just want to see those guys wearing that uniform and seeing, reading about them, and this guy's going to be this and fill these shoes. It always seems to work out there. So I'll be watching that game Saturday night for sure, just to see the new faces and numbers. Crazy stay away from me late Boise in Corvallis. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Brockmire still that at Boise. And is this an overreaction or is this me? Western Kentucky. -16 on the island against Hawaii.
It's a reaction for sure. I think it might be a little bit of an overreaction, but it's funny because I was going to ask you your thoughts on how you moving forward are going to handle Hawaii and Nebraska, because I don't think you can overadjust enough for Hawaii and how bad they are and how talent devoid they are and how far Todd Graham ran that program into the ground and how far they have to go to be competitive. So do I want to lay 16 with a kind of a mediocre type team? No, but
no chance.
But at the same time, I certainly wouldn't take it. And then Nebraska, like I probably am going to take a little bit of a different spin on Nebraska. Like I think moving forward, I don't think it's a power rating type issue or a line issue with Nebraska. It's just being able to stand there and get kicked in the stomach for 15 times in a row again. Like I'm going to walk to the window knowing they're going to figure out a way to lose a close game, or Frost is going to make a bad coaching decision. And just how many times do you want to do that to yourself? Because it's clear the offense is going to be good with Thompson at quarterback. And they lost the game because of a stupid decision from an outside kick, a fumble that shouldn't have been a fumble, and interception off a receiver's hands. Like, but that's like the DNA of Nebraska right
yeah.
now. Like, do you want to like put yourself through that? And it's not like, okay, they're going to be 3-11, 3-10 now or whatever, 3-9 and they're awful. Like, if you want to take like the positive spin from last week, and like, if you were not that anybody is going into the mindset into the season saying, I want to bet Nebraska against Oklahoma. Well, say thank you for last week's result, because you probably just got another couple of points on the number from what you would have gotten. So I don't know. I'm not immediately going to jump off of them and say I'm never going to consider them again.
Totally agree. I said this on Scott's podcast last night. Listen, I get it in this day and age of, and that's why I don't go on Twitter during Saturdays. And I didn't last Saturday. Is then I see it trickling out yesterday of, these are the top three candidates to replace Scott Frost. And this, I get it. He made a terrible mistake. He tried to defend it. It's indefensible. You can't do that. I'm a believer in onside kicks or to get the ball back when your defense is struggling. They weren't struggling. Were they starting to get manhandled on the offensive line? A little bit, but you were up 11. Let Northwestern prove they could go all the way down the field. And that's what I said. Like, that, this is what happens, Barrett, with outsiders that aren't in it. Like, these guys have worked off all season, all off season for these 12 games. And things didn't go their way one time. I thought they were the better team, but they didn't win. And that's the problem that people get caught up in this. And people get mad at coaches using cliches of, you know, all right, we got to take this one game at a time now. And that's what Nebraska has to do. You have to get yourself better the next 2 weeks, because you still have a way to write this September month as Oklahoma comes in at the end of the month. I thought before the year they would win that game. Am I as confident in it now? No, but it's definitely still a winnable game. You got to worry about yourself. You can't worry about what the other team is doing and what points they're scoring. Get yourself right. You know your crowd will be behind you, and play well that day. And then you got a whole new season to look forward to. So I'm not as down on Nebraska as other people are. And that's the tough things that happen when you're the only game in town, really, in week zero, and that's all people are watching and want to talk about. So I'm not there. So have you seen an Iowa South Dakota State line?
No, I'll probably go up on what, Thursday night or Friday.
Friday, maybe.
That's what I was going to say. FCS team more likely to pull an upset on Saturday or Friday or Thursday. South Dakota State, who's number two in the FCS at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
UC Davis at Cal. UC Davis is ranked. Mercer also ranked at Auburn. Any of those three have a legitimate chance to beat one of the Power Five teams, and you think? I wish I saw numbers on these games.
Yeah, I know.
And that clearly would help.
Yeah.
Just something interesting to follow.
I would guess South Dakota State's getting like 10. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's probably right.
11, maybe?
By the way, shout out to James Madison playing their first game as an FBS member, a 5.5-point favorite over Middle Tennessee.
You land a double digits with BYU at USF.
No, I'm invested enough on South Florida. I love when fans of teams that won two games last year like come at me on Twitter for saying like they're not going to win five games this year. If you win four games, you doubled your win total from last year. I had a couple of UCF guys like come at me like,
nice.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Go Bulls.
Exactly. Go Bulls. Good luck.
All right.
Hey, if they win, fine. I could deal with it. Sean King and I have a little friendly wager on it too. So
nice.
But yeah. And then, we talked about the TCU middle before. Another game that I bet specifically knowing that I was going to have a middle opportunity was Texas State, Nevada. I mean, I bet Texas State plus 7 a few weeks back. Now it's pick 'em. Nevada's terrible. I got Nevada season win total under. So again, I could have a nice 7-point middle in that one right now as well. So that's the reason if you can guess right as to which way these lines are going to go, you have yourself a nice opportunity here. In week one. So I got a couple to figure out what I'm going to do now.
Because you know what happens a lot of times when it comes to this stuff? You guess. That's what happens, yes. People. You yes. guess.
Yes.
You guess, sometimes and you guess hope right, you say yes.
Wrong.
What do you think about your Knicks re-signing RJ Barrett? You good? You're in on that? Saw a lot of shows talking about that today. First week of college football, they want to talk Knicks.
Didn't they trade for Donovan Mitchell?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought they did.
Yeah, that's we're good. We got games this week, people. Turn on the TV.
I saw a show that was on the other day too, and they were talking about whether the Cowboys were better than the seventh best team in the NFC. Thought that was a pretty important topic at this time of the year.
College football, it's real.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
All right, Big Mike Happy Recap. I'm going to start Thursday night. I'm laying whatever it is, Fresno State. Friday night, I'm taking the points with Illinois. And Saturday, I just have to take Rice. And I will lay it with Louisville. I know this is early in the week. If there's any questions, please hit us up on Twitter at StanfordSteve82, at Chris Felica. Bear, your Big Mike Happy Recap. Go ahead.
Taking Purdue +3.5. Taking North Carolina at a pick. Taking Illinois +3. And then I'm laying the big number with Washington 21.5. UCLA 23. And again, the favorite I'm most confident about is Washington. Underdog I'm most confident in when we're not right to Illinois. Game I want no part of is Cincinnati, Arkansas. And the ranked team most likely to lose to an unranked team, I think, would be Utah.
Pac-12 on the big stage again.
Love it.
Got to have multiple TVs. It starts this week, people. Get your TV situation right. And get it right is don't forget your sling also. Get your sling. Got all the games on sling. Tennessee, real quick. I want to get this in there. They're laying 33. I need you to do my math here for me because I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
I believe they're laying 33. They're not ranked, right?
No, they're not ranked. So they're 35 and the total is 68.
So what's their team total?
53.
Wow.
Somewhere around there.
Okay.
Yeah, 50 would be 50 to 18. That's 32. So 52-17.
Okay.
That's what you're looking at.
All right. I'll keep my eyes on that one. But it's crazy. What I want to watch in that game is their defense. I need to see it because that next week's going to be a big one.
What are you going to learn, though, from Ball State?
I just want to see the personnel they have. That's all. I just want to see who's running around. They got a big test the following week. All right. Safe travels, my man.
Thank you, sir.
And we will, I'm sure, be talking on the phone as it goes on. So travel safe. And everyone, good luck. Remember, don't go crazy. There's a ton of unknown out there, and we got a long, long season ahead, and correct, this kicks it off. And couldn't be better fired up for game week. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.